The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
And we're back, baby bubbles. It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez, the Count Michael Bisping. What's up?
Yeah, I'm good, buddy. I'm good. How are you? I'm extra good, in fact, because Christmas is done. Call me a Grinch. Call me a miserable bastard. Call me what you will.
An asshole.
But Christmas, you know.
A grumpy piece of shit.
It all applies. Keep going. What else you got?
A hypocrite. Somebody who will show up whenever the fuck he wants, and if I'm 1 minute late, come on, baby boy, let's go. Come on.
Listen, you can call me a boring bastard. You call me a hypocrite. You overstepped the mark. No, listen, Christmas. Yeah, it's great. It is one of my favorite times of the year, but it does bring a lot of stress. You know what I mean? You got to get presents. You got to rush around. You got to decorate the house. You got to put on an amazing dinner and all this stuff. And when it's done, I like to just get my life back to normal. Listen, we had a lovely Christmas day, but I'm very, very happy that it's over, Luis.
There's a psychological thing as well with Christmas that I do shut down the week of Christmas. I don't want to, but something happens where, like, we were supposed to do a show Monday. We'll get into what happened on that show. We were actually here ready to do the show. And then we were going to try to get another one going. And now it's Friday. The entire week came and went. Because Christmas week, there's a mental break that happens. It's the end of the year. You're like, you know, and for some, we just weren't able to make it happen. So I do apologize for this one coming out so late. We are getting two in this week. This is going to be a little special extra post-Christmas recap. But you had a scare on Monday.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's get into that real fast. We do apologize, as you said. So we were sat in place. The show was beginning. We were just recording some of the ads that we do that we know some of you bitch about. But, you know, there you go. And I was having a freak out with my eye. It's happened once before. I mean, of course, when I'm talking about my eye, I'm talking about my good eye, my bad eye. You know, that ship has sailed. But I have one good eye that, believe it or not, I'm pretty protective over. And this has happened once before. What is that noise? It sounds like there's an earthquake going on in my house. I don't know what they're doing. Here's my guess. They're moving fucking suitcases across floorboards. I don't know why they're moving suitcases. All the guests have left, but they're moving fucking suitcases is my guest upstairs. I'll get to the bottom of that later. Anyway, we're about to start the show. And at the left side of my good eye, I can just see like a semicircle and squiggles and squiggles and squiggles. And I'm trying to ignore it. And we're trying to, you know, record some stuff before the show started. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Let me turn these lights off. So I turn the lights off and then I go and have a look. And I thought I'd torn the retina in my good eye. After I fought Kelvin Gastelum, I had a partial vitreous detachment. So there's millions of fibers which attach to the retina. And then when you're in your 60s, the vitreous fibers just kind of detach nice and smoothly. But when they detach due to trauma, they pull. So now when I look to the left, when it's a dark night, if I look left and then I look straight on, I get a little flash of light. I get these flashes, but I've got used to them. But my retina doctor said, you got to be careful because one of those tears can cause the retina to actually rip. So we've got to keep an eye on it. And anyway, that's what I thought was going on. So I wanted to continue with the show, but I was freaking out. I'm like,
and the look of fear, I mean, from our perspective, so you know, we were doing the ad read and he just shut the light off in the middle of it. He didn't say anything. He just shut it off. And we're like, okay, Michael's losing his mind. That's okay. It's not a problem. And then you turn it back on, then off. And I'm just trying to talk. And I'm like, you're like, hey, dude, I got an issue. And you legitimately looked really scared and really concerned. Like, it was a scary moment for us too, because this is, you know, this is my cash cow. These are the coattails that I got to ride on. What am I going to do if you fucking go blind? You're not going to be able to read the fucking ad reads. How are we going to get paid, baby boy?
I swear to God, when I was upstairs, I was looking in the mirror and I was having all these negative thoughts. And listen, I'm not trying to say that I'm just totally selfless, but all I was thinking at that time is, how the fuck am I going to earn a living? I'm not going to, I can't commentate fights. I can't watch fights. I can't talk about fights on a podcast. I can't do shit. I'm like, oh my God, if I'm going blind now, we are fucked. We are moving out of the half mansion into a very, very reasonably priced semi-detached house. How are we going to go? We'll have to be traded in for some kind of vehicle that can transport a blind person. Yeah. Maybe a self-driving Tesla. I don't know.
Your house is going to be like your retina, semi-detached. And you're going to...
Oh.
There you go, baby boy. So... It was a scary moment. And obviously, we're just joking. Like, as your friend, like, it's funny because you're like, holy shit, dude. I couldn't imagine. It's a weird thing because I think when you're not there, you know, the idea of going blind isn't really that scary of a thing because it seems so out of reality. Like, I couldn't imagine just being able to lose my vision. I don't do anything. That does just happen one day. And the idea that, you know, if your other eye just went, like, you'd be literally completely dark. What would you do? I mean, it's a scary thought to have, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah. Have you thought about what you would do in that case? How would you?
No, I haven't. I haven't really gone to that. I mean, hopefully, you know, I like to be a positive person, so we won't go down that avenue. But this has happened once before when I was filming MacGyver last year, because I was thinking about this. I was talking to Rebecca. I was saying, what the hell? And I was like, oh, shit, this happened once before. Same thing, just in one corner of my eye, tons of weird squiggles, like move. If you imagine, you know, when like on Forensic Files or something, when they look under a microscope and they see like the molecules, they're like little maggots swimming around. That's what I could see. That's the best way I've described it. In one corner of my eye, lots of things moving.
Is it like almost like there's like trails like coming through the air? Like you see that? Because that happens to me if I take too big of a bong hit. So I think I understand what you're going through right now. I can kind of understand this. If I take too big of a hit of weed, I swear to God, this is true. And then I look from there and then I look forward really quick, or I change my line of view. I get these like trails, these like swirls, almost just like what you're describing. And I'm wondering if there's any sort of, you know, I'm just saying I'm a badass.
Correlation.
Dude. me and you live the same life.
Do not undermine my medical pain and suffering and liken it to you taking a bong hit. It's like, yeah, bro, totally get you, man. Like when I take a massive bong hit, bro, I get trailers for days. Yeah, no, this happened once before. And I shit my pants and I went into an optician's in Atlanta and they couldn't help me. So I called my eye doctor, my eye surgeon. And when I apologized to my eye surgeon for calling him at a random hour, he sarcastically responded, oh, no, I'm your personal eye surgeon that you can call anytime you like. Little passive aggressive there, doctor. But anyway, that always pissed me off. But anyway, so there you go. I'm not going blind. I don't think so. I can see you now. I can see me. I've got no hangover. Didn't drink yesterday. I'm glad Christmas is gone. We had people at our house. We had family. Great to see them. But you feel, and I'm not blaming them. You know, when you got a lot of people together, you're in a house, it's Christmas, you drink wine, you know, you drink and be merry and this and that. And it was too much. So, I mean, they said the same thing. Now they've gone. And now it's 2020. Bullseye vision, my friend. I'm going to be a better version of myself, Lewis.
I became very motivated as well. I'm doing an early New Year's resolution. Because every year I do the same thing. New year, new me. We all do it. It's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's a mental reset. You know, I think you don't need to have it be January 1st. It is all psychological. It's in your head. You can make that mental reset happen on June 15th. It doesn't matter. But for some reason, just like if you're going to start a new diet, you're going to start it on a Monday. Nobody's starting a new diet on a Thursday. It makes no sense. You know, it's the beginning of the week. New week, new me. New month, new me. So, but I got motivated preemptively.
That's what I do every Monday. I'm like, listen, new week, new me. Monday, I'm fucking on it. I am sweating my ass off. I'm in the gym. I'm having protein shakes. I'm low carbing. Maybe I'm intermittent fasting. By Thursday, I'm eating a McDonald's with a fucking bottle of vodka in my hand. I'm like, why?
Well, it's usually one moment. It's one moment on Tuesday or Wednesday where you go, oh, I guess I got a little piece of sugar. Fine. And you have that one M&M, that one scoop of sugar in your coffee. And then that little, it's a thread that becomes loose on a sweater. And you start to pull that thread. And then all of a sudden you got no fucking sweater on by Friday, baby boy. So that's what happens.
Shit.
So this year, though, I got motivated because my son's mother is a really, really great cook. She's a great baker in particular. She makes great pies, great cookies. And every year Christmas comes around and she makes these incredible Christmas cookies. Dude, chocolate chip with little toffee chips in them. Oatmeal. I don't even like oatmeal cookies, but her fucking oatmeal cookies are incredible. Incredible.
I refuse to eat an oatmeal cookie. I've done it a couple of times. I've picked one up. I've taken a bite. And whilst that bite was somewhat enjoyable, I realized it was raisin and oatmeal, and I throw it away, you know, because I don't want to waste those. If I'm going to eat a cookie, there better be fucking chocolate chips in it. And it's as simple as that. And if it hasn't got chocolate chips, I don't want to know, baby boy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like carrot cake. It's like, come on, doggy. If I'm trying to eat a fucking salad, I'll eat a salad. I want some chocolate chips. I want some pie, yeah, motherfucker.
Exactly. Like, come on.
So she made these cookies, and they're so... I'm embarrassed. I don't know the exact amount, but I have an estimation of the amount of cookies that I ate on Christmas Day. What do you think? What do you think is a number that would be obnoxious? An amount of cookies throughout the day.
Hold on. What size are these cookies?
Okay, I would say the cookies she makes are like 1.5 by 1.5 round, like your normal standard cookie. But then also a lot of the cookies that I ate were the grandma tin. You know the grandma tin that your grandma keeps all of her sewing materials in?
Yeah.
Those little sugar cookies, they remind me of my childhood. So those were going around. They had these little donut cookies. There was a bunch of different style of cookies.
I'd be embarrassed as well, Brendan. We have roses, Cadbury's roses in England. They're always on the roll. They're always around. So I had a lot of Cadbury's roses. But going back to the cookie, yeah, I do love a good cookie. But I won't eat the cookie unless I have a glass of milk. I'd never experienced cookies and milk until I was on The Ultimate Fighter 3 as a contestant. And the Americans were doing. I was like, I swear to God, then the north of England cookies and milk isn't a thing. It's something I've seen these fancy people in movies do. I'm like, whoa, what is this wondrous thing? And then I dipped a cookie into milk. I was like, oh, that's the best thing I've ever tasted in my
fucking
life.
It's the best thing in the world, dude. A chocolate chip cookie in a cup of ice cold organic whole milk. Also, by the way, organic milk.
You did say grass-fed, organic, grass-fed, non-GMO. Carry on.
I don't even give a shit about that. You could fucking pump these cows full of fucking poison for all I care. I'm telling you right now, it just tastes better. Organic milk tastes leaps head and shoulders better than regular non-organic milk. Regardless. Okay,
Whoa. Stop. You give me shit for going all fucking, what is it you call me these days? Hollywood Bisping?
Hollywood.
Veganism and whatnot. And you are sitting here on the Believe You Me podcast talking about the benefits of organic milk. Stop. You, with your assistance and your sycophants, you are going up your own backside there, Lewis. Please stop. But continue. So, okay, back to the cookies. My guess, I'm going to say that you're disgusted. For you to be disgusted, I mean, looking at you, I mean, you're a pretty disgusting individual. For one, to have that realization and be disgusted in yourself, it's got to be a lot. It's got to be disgusting. I would say around 12. I would say 12. That would be a normal person's level of disgust. But this is the Puerto Rican rattlesnake that we're talking about. They're amateur numbers, buddy. You got to up those numbers, okay? 17 cookies.
35 cookies. 35 cookies, at least. I know for a fact, because I started counting the ones that I had. I know for a fact I had about 15 of the ones that Beatrice baked. And then I'm estimating a good 20 of the other ones. Because you got to, I mean, every time, the amount of times that I put them in my mouth, it is an estimation, but I was disgusted. The next day, my stomach was, like, I felt like I did heroin. My veins, I could feel it. My feet, my hands, my neck. I had this nasty sugar hangover that just motivated me to start this diet early. It's been 2 days in a row, baby boy. I'm back. If you want to get this challenge going now, it's over. Because I went in and I hit rock bottom, and now I'm fucking ready to be back.
Well, Christmas Day, unfortunately for me, I was also disgusted in myself, but for very, very different reasons. So Christmas Eve, we had a beautiful Christmas Eve. We went out for dinner. We went to a nice Italian restaurant nice and early. We came back. We had some carols on in the house. We're drinking some wine. Our next door neighbors came over, invited us to their house for a little party. We went over there, a couple of drinks, nothing crazy, very, very wholesome, took some nice pictures, came back here, continue with the same vibe, you know, a couple more drinks, you know what I mean? Just very, very pleasant. And then Rebecca and I, we always exchange our gifts on Christmas Eve when the kids are all in bed. Obviously, we had to get all the presents out, arrange all that. By then, I would say it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. But we always exchange our gifts on Christmas Eve so we can just focus on the children on Christmas Day. Anyway, so late to bed, I take some melatonin, right? And melatonin has been known to give people bad dreams. But I, throughout the last 10 years, or as long as I've been with Rebecca, I suffer from night terrors. I occasionally sleepwalk here and there, right? And they've developed now and again to night terrors. Sometimes I've picked Rebecca up in the middle of the night and thrown her into the wall. And she's woke up crumpled on the floor saying, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I thought the ceiling fan was going to come down and chop us all up. I thought I was saving her. A lot of the times I wake up screaming in the night and I don't remember because I'm asleep, you know, and she tells me the next day. Anyway, I haven't had one for quite a while, but Christmas Day morning, and I just found out from Lucas, because Lucas often in the night comes and gets in our bed, and he did that on this occasion, and he was awake because it was Christmas Day, and he was excited. He was waiting for his lazy alcoholic parents to wake up and go downstairs, and I jumped out of bed screaming in absolute terror, sprinted out of the bedroom. Lucas was thinking, "What the hell is he doing?" And then I tried to run down the stairs, fell down the stairs, like, face first, landed on my knee, my good knee, not my bad knee that was replaced, is all swollen up. I can't walk on it. I've fallen down the stairs. The entire house is woken up. I'm still screaming. I'm trying to get out the back door. The back door's locked. I must have unlocked it. I've run through the garden. I've climbed over the barbecue area. I've sliced all my feet wide open. I've climbed over the wall. Then I jumped onto the neighbor's wall, and I've come to. I'm sat on my neighbor's wall in my underpants, 7 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day. And my wife is standing there going, "Michael, what the fuck are you doing?" And I'm like, very confused, thinking, "I don't know." I was sleepwalking the whole time. And anyway, I come back in. When I got out of bed and came downstairs, there's a trail of blood everywhere from my knees and my feet. Yeah, that's how my Christmas day started, Lewis. That's how my day started.
Have you ever gone that far with sleepwalking?
Not that far. That's the worst one ever. I remember, I've had a few occasions, like recently when I flew, this was so embarrassing. Earlier this year, started commentating for the UFC. And a lot of the times, like, we'll get a connecting flight to Dallas and then, or somewhere like that, or Miami. And then on that connecting flight down to South America somewhere, more often than not, Brazil. And on that second leg of the flight, that's where all the UFC people are connected. So, like, the business class part of the plane is pretty much full of, like, you know, UFC types, you know, and producers and the commentators and, you know, people like that. So a lot of people, you know what I mean? You're not on your best behavior, because I'm always on my best behavior. You know what I mean? I know how to behave in public, but you don't want to make a fool out of yourself on that flight. And then on one occasion, we landed in Brazil and I'm walking off and everyone goes, "Are you okay now, Mike?" I'm like, what do you mean? They went, "You were screaming. When everyone was asleep in the middle of the night, you were on your feet in the aisle screaming your head off." I'm like, "No, I wasn't. Shut the fuck up." And everyone came over. They're like, "Yeah, you were, Mike. You were screaming." And the stewardesses had to come over. I'm like, "Are you okay?" They said, "You were clearly sleepwalking. You were sleepwalking, then you went back to sleep." And then that was that. So, yeah. But anyway, Christmas Day, it was a fucking bad one, Lewis. It was very embarrassing because Rebecca's brother and their entire family are all here. And they're like, "What is going on with this guy? He's out of his mind on a neighbor's fence in his underpants at 7 o'clock in the morning." It's not the best. It's not the best start to a day.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. I've never experienced that at all. Anything like that. I mean, there's nothing that I do in my sleep. I've never had like any sort of crazy dream where I've gotten out of bed. I've never had a wet dream. You hear that about kids? I never get that. I don't even remember ever having a dream where I really truly thought it was real. I did have a weird dream with Brian. I had a dream that me and Brian were going to have gay sex and Harrington was in the bed with us. We didn't have gay sex. I swear to God, this happened. Maybe as I'm talking about it, dreams.
Hold on. When you say dream, it was a dreamlike state.
It was a daydream.
You were inebriated. You were intoxicated. You'd taken a massive bong hit. You had those squiggly things in this corner of your eye. You didn't know what was going on. Listen, it's fine. Next thing you know, you're in bed. It's Brian. It's Harrington. You're like, "Listen, Mike canceled the show on Monday because he hasn't got good vision." Well, guess what? My vision is 2020 right now, boys, and you've never looked so good. So fuck it. It's 2019, about to be 2020. Let's start recording this and see where it ends up.
Yeah, I like Lewis.
Well, thank you very much, Brendan. I like you too. I do like him, by the way. I want to put it out there. I feel bad. Tim Dillon told me that Brendan Schaub doesn't think I like him. I feel bad. I feel bad. I don't dislike the guy. I like him too.
Yeah, but the fact that we're talking about this, it's like you don't like him. You shouldn't say that because that takes the joke out of it. All right, so I made a dick out of myself Christmas morning. You apparently nearly had sex with the two producers.
No, I didn't. I just had a dream.
You get me, dude. You will get me, dude, even talking about this. You know, if this is very double standard of you, Lewis. If these were women right now and you were objectifying them and saying, I had a dream that I had sex with Shannon
I didn't have
and
a dream.
Someone else.
I need to finish the fucking story because I didn't have a gay sex dream.
You had a gay sex dream that you fucked Brian and Harrington. It's okay. You retracted, right? I mean, have you seen Brian? He's tall. He's slender. He's got a hell of a ponytail. He's a good-looking guy. Harrington,
he's got that voice.
Go on, Brian. Give us a little signal. Go on. Give us a sign, God.
Oh, hello.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Hello.
See, I'd have sex with that.
I had a dream that we were going to, we were in a bedroom on a bed, like we were setting up for a podcast, but instead of a podcast, we were going to have gay sex. And Harrington was like taking notes on the bed, being like, oh, we're going to talk about this. And that's all it was. And then I woke up being like, was I having a fucking gay sex dream with Brian? I swear to God, this is true. It happened like two nights ago. I forgot about it completely until we started about dreams.
And in my dream, I couldn't stop fiddling with my microphone. Listen, it is what it is, Lewis. You know, you're single these days.
It's true.
Not getting it as regular as you want. You spend a lot of time with Harrington and a lot of time with Brian.
They're nice
guys. Your friends, camaraderie. The lines are blurred. It's okay. That's okay. You know, it is what it is. You know, maybe have a word with Brian and see if he feels the same way. Harrington definitely does. Harrington will marry you right now. Okay.
But I know
Brian, I don't know about Brian. I don't know about Brian.
All right. Look, let's talk about a couple of things real quickly.
What, you don't want to talk about your gay sex dream. Oh, I get it. Fair enough.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and talk about CBDMD, which is such an amazing company. CBD being the non-psychoactive chemical in hemp or marijuana. It's not designed to get you high. It doesn't get you high. It's non-psychoactive. What it does is it helps to heal you. It helps to put your body back in homeostasis. It makes your body feel normal again. It makes your body feel young again. If you have physical afflictions, physical pain, any sort of inflammation, if you have trouble sleeping, trouble waking up, just overall you're not feeling right, if you have anxiety, CBD might be the answer for you. Bisping, I know you're loving the recover cream that you're back in the gym.
Well, I do love the recover cream. And as you say, if you got aches, pains, inflammation, all that type of stuff, it will work. Also, if you freak out in the night and go sleepwalking and fall down the stairs and like massively swell up your knee, it works well for that. Because I have been applying the recover cream. I put it on all the time anyway. I put it on my bad knee that was just replaced. And that's almost back to square one now. The doctor said 4 to 6 months for a full recovery. Baby boy, 2.5 months. I'm almost ready to go running had I not messed up my other knee. But I'm applying it to that, and it's getting better by the second. So check out all their products. The good news is there is a variety of different ways for you to ingest it. They got the gummies. They got the drops. They got the creams. Multiple different types of cream. They got melatonin. They got all types of stuff. They got products for your dogs. If your dogs are hyperactive, if they're a little crazy, this will just kind of calm them down a little bit. It'll get their bodies back into homeostasis. So please go to their website, cbdmd.com. Check it out on there. They got the best prices per milligram. Free shipping on all US orders with a 30-day money back guarantee. So that's huge. They got reliable customer support with actual knowledgeable humans available to answer any of your questions. And of course, as I said, best prices per milligram. So please go to cbdmd.com. Use the promo code BYM20 for 20% off. Again, cbdmd.com, promo code BYM20, 20% off. No more aches and pains. Let's get back into it. All right, where are we going to start?
There's a few things to talk about. We're here. I will say right now, before we even get more into the show, we're going to do a little bit of a shorter show today. This is a makeup show. We didn't have time earlier in the week, and we have a little bit of limitations on time with finishing up the holidays, but we are doing tomorrow. We're going to be back in the afternoon, and we'll be putting on another show, and it's going to be a little bit of a longer one because we're going to do our year-end recap, the best ofs. Do we have a name for an award show, Harrington? What did we call it last year?
I think it was the Believer Awards.
The Believer Awards. We got to come up with a better name.
The Best of Believe You Me Year End Awards. I mean, that's just me. Immediately, the first thing that comes to my mind. Best of 2019. The best moments of Mixed Martial Arts 2019. Believe You Me 2019 Best of, presented by Luis J. Gomez and Michael Bisping. I mean, realistically, it's not that hard to come up with a lot. But off air, prior to this, you said, what did you tell me about this tomorrow? You said Harrington came up with a great idea.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Harrington comes up to me. He was like, dude, I got it. Tomorrow, end of year, Believe You Me Awards. And then I come into Bisping, and I'm like, Bisping, Harrington finally had a great idea. I was so excited for him. I was like, he said we should do the year-end Believe You Me Awards. And then Bisping said,
I said, he's full of shit. I said that. Number one, we did that last year, and I feel like it becomes an annual thing at the end of every year. We recap. Secondly, every website, every MMA promotion, every kind of thing that has people looking at it in terms of mixed martial arts, they're all doing the same thing. It's not an original idea. And thirdly, and this is the real nail on the coffin, I fucking said it on the show when I said I was in Vegas and we did a year-end review show, the best fights, the fighter of the year, the best event, all that type of stuff. I said that you can check the tape, you can listen to the tapes. I said we should do the same thing at the end of the year. We should do our own version of that. So Harrington, please, come on. Plagiarism at its finest there. Even Kenny Florian would be ashamed.
Yeah. This is it's a little bit depressing, Harrington, that you try to pass off one of Bisping's ideas as your own.
I don't remember this conversation. I genuinely don't.
It's weird. I'm just saying, like, dude, first you try to take my spot on the show as a co-host, then you're stealing Bisping's ideas. I think Harrington has a deeper, more cynical plot in the works that he's not letting us know about. And I think he plays dumber than he really is.
I predict these things.
Grand designs for the show. It feels like slowly but surely he's going to phase us out. See, what he's trying to do is he's lulling you into bed, Lewis. These dreams that you're having, they're a design of Harrington. You know, he's suggestive. He's suggestive and you're falling for it. You're being seduced by Harrington's charms. He's going to file a sexual assault allegation. You're going to be out the window. I'm not going to be able to work with just Harrington. I'll leave, and therefore it becomes the Harrington and Brian show. And there you go. But anyway, dude,
honestly,
that aside,
maybe a better show.
Probably way better. Consistent, on time, no vision problems, no crass humor from yourself. You know what I mean? Certainly no digitizing. They're both in the same studio on a regular basis. The show's going to go through the roof. As long as we still get our cut, I'm happy. All right. So big, big fight tomorrow. Massive fight. Well, I say massive fight. It is. It is and it isn't really. I'm talking about Fedor Emelianenko taking on Rampage Jackson in Japan. Rampage, massive star in Japan back in the Pride days. Taking on Fedor Emelianenko, same guy. Massive star, star of Pride. People love him in Japan, the MMA fans. And they're doing it now. I guess the only knock on that fight is that they're not both in the prime. But still, if you're a fan of Rampage and you're a fan of Fedor, and there was a lot of them, this is still a fun fight to watch. And the fact that it's happening at heavyweight, Rampage coming in as the much bigger guy, coming in at 260 pounds.
Whoa, really? I didn't see the weigh-ins. Can we have pictures of the weigh-ins? How big is Rampage?
He's been big lately. He's a big boy lately. And he never liked running or training and things like that. You know, he was very open about that. But he's a big fella. He's a big, big fella.
Does he look good at 260, or is it, you know, could that be a detriment? Do you think he might be out of shape?
I never saw a picture of him with his shirt off, so I couldn't comment. What I did see was a picture of him with a bandana over his face.
Oh, he doesn't look in bad shape at all.
No, doesn't look bad. Looks very thick, very strong. Yeah, it doesn't look bad at all. I'm sure side on might look a little different, but still, looks pretty good. looks like he can knock a motherfucker out, which
got
is
some
always
ab,
been
got some ab
do.
Definition. Honestly, when you said 260, I was like, oh shit, are we going to see a chunky Rampage come in? He looked, and look at Fedor, does not look better than Rampage, but I will say right now, Fedor, that's as good as Fedor has ever looked.
Hold on. See, this is the thing, you know, and this isn't racist at all. Black people look so much more ripped. I mean, put them side by side. Do they, in fact, have the same body, but Rampage just has a better skin tone, and therefore, you know, it's reflecting. It's making his abs stand out a little bit more. I think they've got a very similar physique. It's a great fight. It's on tomorrow on Ryzen, and I'm going to check that out. On DAZN, I believe, or even Bellator, or even on TV. I don't fucking know where it's on, but I am going to check it out tomorrow. There's a good undercard as well, but we won't get into all of that. We'll just talk about Rampage. He was talking yesterday how, and this was hilarious, he was talking yesterday how it's Rampage's daughter's birthday, and it's Fedor's daughter's birthday.
Really?
Rampage is in better shape. Rampage is in better shape.
Rampage is in leaps and bounds better shape. Way better shape. At 260, yeah, Rampage looks like a fucking beast. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, he's a big boy. Big boy. No, he was saying both of their daughters, it's their birthday. This was hilarious. I should have sent you the video to play. It was funny. He's standing there saying, listen, it's Fedor's daughter's birthday. It's my daughter's birthday. Nobody wants to lose a fight. But, you know, if it's your daughter's birthday specifically, right, on that day, you definitely don't want to lose that fight. And then that got him thinking, because it's Fedor's birthday on the same day. It got him thinking that they were both fucking at the same time. That's what he said, and he's going into it. And now...
Wait, are they the exact same age?
Something like that. I'm not sure. They must That's be. Funny. And he's saying now whenever he thinks about his daughter, his mind goes to Fedor having sex. It was absolutely hilarious. You should try and pull up the video. It's fucking funny. Rampage is a funny man.
Yeah, Rampage is very funny. That is, but look, you know, somebody's got to lose. It's almost like when it's two guys that are praying to God to win the same exact event. You're like, well, look, do you think God's going to favor one of you? No, that's it. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. That sucks. That type of motivation has to be very, very real. I don't know how old his daughter is, but yeah, I would never bring my kid. If I was a fighter, I couldn't bring my kids to a fight. The idea of me getting my ass kicked in front of my kids, you've talked about this to a certain degree. I mean, I guess if it's part of their life, it's part of their life. They understand people, fighters win and lose, you know? But it would still fuck me up a little bit. Like, it would be a little thing in the background that I think would be more of a detriment than a motivating factor.
Yeah, well, it is definitely hard when your kids are there. It is kind of a distraction. Sorry, it's Lucas upstairs. He's rolling around on a chair on wheels right above me. It sounds bad. Anyway, no, I've fought when my children are there. I had Callum in my corner once. And when I had Callum in my corner, I said, I'll never do that again. I was too emotional. You know, when you do the hugs of your opponents, and then I was hugging Callum and then stepping into the octagon, I almost started crying. So that was a distraction for sure. All my kids came when I got choked out against George St. Pierre. They were all there. They were all there when I won the belt as well. So I don't know. You know, for me, I think it's kind of first, important to teach
them. What was their reaction when you first saw them? Did they all like,
good fight, Dad. Good fight. I'm like, listen, dickheads. Never gonna sugarcoat it. I just got choked the fuck out. Going, yeah, but like until you got choked out, you were totally winning. I was like, well, actually, I wasn't. Okay, fuck face. So now you're just lying to me. I know I've just been choked out unconscious, but I can still spot when you're lying and you're sugarcoating things. Just say, Dad, you suck. And they're like, all right, Dad, you fucking suck. I'm like, whoa, have a heart. I don't expect you to actually say that. Nah, it was weird. You know, it's it was fine. The kids, Beck and the kids were in the room, and it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's part of it. You're man enough to step in there and fight. You got to teach them, you know, that one man wins, one man loses. I used to always do that with Callum because he used to worry every time I'd fight, you know, even if he wasn't at the fight. We knew, no, he was worried. We'd speak to the babysitters or his mother, sorry, his grandmother or whatever. So I'd always get on the phone. I'd always speak to Callum beforehand and be like, listen, son, I'm going to fight now. And fingers crossed, I'm going to win. You know, but either way, win or lose, I'll be home tomorrow. Everything's going to be fine. It's a sporting event. Hopefully I win, but you can't always guarantee it. So don't worry if I lose. I'd always prep him like that, you know. There's, so
it's like, I think we think of it as non-fighters the same way we think of it as you get into a fight in a parking lot in front of your kid and you get your ass kicked and there's a sense of embarrassment, like, you know, oh, I can't protect my family. But it's different because it is a sporting event. It's probably closer to the same way that, like, football players' kids look at their dads playing a game on Sunday and they go, yeah, they win, they lose. It's his career to go and play this game and play this sport. I think the average person just looks at fighting as this sense of, like, either protecting yourself or it's not... I think just punching and kicking in general, we associate with violence. We associate it with protecting yourself or defending yourself and not the sporting side of it until you actually do it.
Well, you associate it with violence because it is violence. I mean, you can dress it up all you want, but it is still a violent sport. It's funny, though, because you do dress it up as a sporting event, certainly when you've lost a fight. When you lose a fight, that's like, it was always my go-to excuse. I remember when I lost to GSP, I was doing an interview afterwards with the UFC, and I went like, listen, you know, it's a sporting event. someone's going to lose. You know, you watch a football game, you watch a hockey match, every single time someone wins, someone loses. No different here. Someone wins, someone's going to win, someone's going to lose. Unfortunately, tonight, it was myself that lost. But you're saying that to save face on camera. Inside, you're like, fuck, motherfucker. Where is it? Let's go storm his fucking dressing room right now. All right, today's show is sponsored by The Athletic, a subscription sports news site for real fans. Sick of all that clickbaity bullshit? I know I am. Well, guess what? Check out The Athletic. Through in-depth coverage from local writers on every single team, plus national writers that you already know of, like Jay Glazer, Mike Sando, and Michael Lombardi, The Athletic is setting new standards for sports news.
There are no ads, there's no pop-ups, clickbait. It's just great sports writing that tells the story behind the story. You get exclusive player profiles, deep dives on analytics, team power rankings, and fantasy sports insights that you're not going to find anywhere else. Bisping, this is a really, really cool website. They just did an awesome article on the best fighters of the decade. They featured you as the middleweight fighter of the decade. Look, honestly, they know what they're talking about, obviously.
They certainly know what they're talking about. And here's the thing, not just because they tickled my ball, so to speak, is that why I'm saying they're good? It's not. It's really not. I enjoy reading their articles because they go really in depth. You know, they obviously do tons of research and you'll find out a lot of stuff. Each subscriber also gets a personalized feed of stories. They get a live round of questions and answers, podcasts, and more. Just download The Athletic app, pick your favorite teams, and The Athletic will begin servicing all on the latest players and the storylines that matter only to you. And I'm telling you, right, all these crap websites out there, and they're just trying to give you bullshit headlines. You click on them, and it's nothing like what you expected. The Athletic is not like that whatsoever. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Give them a try. Read these stories. And whatever sport it is, MMA, football, basketball, whatever, they cover almost everything. And as I say, you won't be disappointed. You will love what you see. You will get stories with substance, quality, in-depth content that goes beyond the box score, exclusive content, smart analysis, advanced analytics, in-depth analysis, and insight, smart coverage, unique content, and original content, Lewis.
So right now, if you want to get started, and you should, if you love the show, go support The Athletic because they support us. You get 40% off your yearly subscription to The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/believe. Theathletic.com/believe. You're going to save 40% off your entire annual subscription. You're going to love it. If you don't, come back to us. Let us know you don't. We'll do something very special for you and your family next Christmas or on your birthday. I don't know. We'll figure it out, but I promise you're going to love it. Theathletic.com/believe. Save 40%. All right, let's get back into it.
But anyway, back to Fedor and Rampage before we move on. What do you reckon, Lewis? Who wins this fight? Fedor looked good. Remember, he went all the way in that heavyweight Grand Prix when he fought Chael Sonnen. He looked outstanding. I know MMA math doesn't stack up, but remember, Chael beat Rampage and Fedor, you know, made pretty easy work. No disrespect to Chael in that fight. I forget what happened in the final. Who did he fight? Did he fight Ryan Bader? I think he fought Ryan Bader, right?
I believe so. Yeah, Ryan Bader has a title, so for sure. Yeah. So, yeah.
What are you saying?
In a weird way, I'm just sort of leaning toward Rampage. I don't know, man. He looks in great shape. He's fucking huge. Fedor is just... It's almost like... I feel like at this point, an elite-level fighter, any given Sunday, they could beat Fedor. But Fedor just, he hasn't really seemed to fall off that much. He still looks about as good as he's ever looked. You know, to lose to Ryan Bader, there's no shame in that. Bader looks better than he's ever looked. So I'm very torn on this. I think if I really had to bet, I'd probably pick Fedor in this fight. But I just got a feeling. I think Rampage looks good. As good a shape as Rampage is in at 260 pounds, that's sort of a little factor for me where I'm like, wow, we've never seen Rampage that big in that good of a shape. Maybe he's got a home as a massive fucking Jack Diesel heavyweight. So yeah, if I'm using my head, Fedor. If I'm using my heart, I'm gonna say Rampage.
Sorry, I'm just looking up at the video here because as you were chatting there, and by the way, Rampage has been that big for a while now. He's you know, against Wanderlei Silva, he was that big. Oh, that, wow. Hold on, I'm just looking at the fight. So there it is, Ryan Bader versus Fedor. It was a 35-second knockout for Ryan Bader. And Ryan Bader dropped Fedor with a jab and then followed it up on the ground. Pretty much that's what happened. And I'm just thinking, if Ryan Bader can do that to Fedor, I know for a fact that Rampage can do that. I used to train with Rampage. listen, he wasn't always the most motivated to train, but fuck me, he hits hard. And he does train. He does train. He just wasn't a fan of it. You know what I mean? He just, you know, didn't like putting the rounds in. I wasn't saying that he liked the sport, just didn't like putting the miles in. But, you know, he was always formidable in there. And the one thing that you don't lose, and in fact, one thing that gets better as you get heavier, and he's 260 pounds, is punching power. You know, maybe you might lose a little speed, but fuck me, he has always hit hard, and now he's probably hitting harder than ever. So, yeah, I think Rampage is going to get another big knockout in Japan.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and that's going to be awesome. What time of day is it? Is it going to be early in the morning? I have no idea. I'm so turned around with these international cards. Do we know, Harrington? It'd be dope if it was during the day.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. No, it's not. It's at a decent time. It's like 10 p.m. Eastern or something
like really?
That, I think. So, anyway.
Must be
so
crazy early in the morning over there. All right, that's cool. I mean, I will, tomorrow night I'll be around for that. That's cool.
Yeah,
that should be good. I mean, what's the next big UFC fight coming up?
Next big UFC fight. Oh, January 18th, Conor McGregor versus Donald Cowboy Cerrone, which is only like 3 weeks away.
I know.
It seems like that's still an eternity.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just been announced and it's round the corner. So that's a big one. And, you know, the good news is because, like, you know, sometimes there's a UFC event every weekend. You know, but when there's not one for a while, the last one was already 2 weeks away. So it's going to be like a 5-6 week gap between UFC events, which that in itself builds hunger.
Yeah.
And then when it's Cowboy Cerrone versus Conor McGregor, I mean, come on. That's going to be a fucking big fight, man. That's going to do big numbers.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm excited about that one as well. Should be pretty amazing. So look, real quick, I want to, before we shift gears, because there's a couple big fight bookings that have been announced in the past couple days, we're going to do some fan questions on the show as well. But like I said, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show. So thank you guys for listening to this extra episode we got in this week. We really tried hard to make our schedules work, so we were able to make today work. I'll just say really quick, really, if you love the show, okay, if you love the show, go to our iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. If you're on Stitcher, if you're on Google Play or any of those, you could always rank us. You could always leave us reviews. That helps the show. That helps people discover the show. Also, our YouTube channel is growing in a massive, massive way. If you guys want the notification when we premiere the new shows live on YouTube, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. You get the notification right to your phone. Boom. You get a little bling, and then boom, you can watch the show live. Myself and Bisping also join the live chat from time to time. And then last but not least, if you love the show, and you want to have access to every episode we've ever done. The latest 30 episodes are on iTunes and YouTube and everywhere else, but the entire on-demand library is available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. Get access to this show pre-release, ad-free, uncensored, and more. Yes, Mr. Bisping.
Just remind the listeners again, what happens if they subscribe? What happens? What noise do they hear?
Bling.
You get a little bling. All right. Awesome. I'm always breaking down what happens when you use the subscription service on apps on your phone.
And you know what? If you don't have your sound on, maybe you're going to get a little bzzz in your pocket.
The possibilities are endless. All right. So the big fight coming up is Conor. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks for sure. So we'll save that one for now. There's two topics.
Same weight class, both the title. Fight has been, I believe, is it officially set? Is there a date for it? With Kamaru Usman versus
Jorge Masvidal.
Jorge Masvidal. That's it. Yeah, we're pros. We got this.
I'm like, really, really? I'm like, come on. I don't want to finish the sentence for him, but I'm like, Jesus Christ. Masvidal. Incidentally, and I'm going to jump the shark, jump the gun, whatever the fuck it is. My 2019 fighter of the year. I mean, listen, you would think that Masvidal should rightly get the title shot. But, of course, there was talks of him fighting Conor McGregor out there and things like that. I saw a report last night that they're going to fight in July 2020. So that's kind of a shame for Masvidal because, I mean, I get it. Usman just went through that big war. I'm not sure what injuries he has, but he's going to have something. His hands are maybe messed up a little bit, a broken thumb or whatever. You need time to recover after a fight like that. July, I mean, Jesus, that's 7 months away still. So Masvidal, on the flip side, is going to have to sit around and just twiddle his thumbs and try and stay out of trouble, try and just stay in the gym and things like that, which is hard to do for that amount of time. I've done that. You know, when I coached the Ultimate Fighter, we weren't going to fight for a long time. It is a pain in the ass. But Masvidal released a little video yesterday because on more than one occasion, Usman, after his win against Colby Covington, which was a sensational fight again, was asked about Masvidal. And Masvidal responded with, sorry, pardon me, Usman responded with who?
Yeah.
And he went, what about Masvidal? What do you think of him? And he goes, who? Now, I think he's just trying to be funny or whatever. There's no way that Usman doesn't know who Jorge Masvidal is.
He's trying to take a dig. He's trying to take a dig like, yeah, who's that guy? I get it.
Yeah, he's trying to say that he doesn't have star power, you know, but Masvidal produced a video and released it on YouTube. Can we play that video? Because it's fucking great. It's a good response.
And for those of you guys watching this, you guys can just find the video. Maybe we'll put a link to the video because I know we don't want to play other people's videos in our YouTube video. So we'll put it in the description if you guys want to see what we're playing right now. But pull it up
really
quick.
Can we play the sound?
Yeah, we'll play the sound.
In my career, people will look back at everything that I've done and say, you know what? That guy was the best ever because of the legacy that he left.
You want that Game Bread fight?
The who? The who?
Game Bread, Jorge Masvidal.
Who's that? Who's that?
There you go.
Just talk like nowadays. Yes. It's this era. You could just say whatever you feel like. You could say what you want because it's social media. You right. want to get fans on your side and this and that. And he just happened to say it to the wrong guy at the wrong time.
Yeah,
like that's the situation. And you did it backstage too. Yeah, yeah. Massa don't give a fuck. Massa don't give a fuck.
Let's talk about that opening sequence.
Maybe not. Hey, come over here, say it in my face.
And now Masvidal's walking over. He's going to give the three-piece in the shoulder to Leon Edwards.
Boom.
No way. Well, anyway, we get the idea. So Masvidal or someone on his team or whatever, they put together this little piece. And it's great. It's done really well. We all know that Usman knows who Masvidal is. And as you said, he's trying to be cute. He's trying to be a dick. He's trying to be funny. He's trying to, you know, indirectly insult him by saying, listen, his star is not big enough. But honestly, outside of Conor McGregor right now, I don't think anybody's star is as big as Masvidal's. And that's coming from me. Remember, a year ago, we did not like each other, but you can't deny what has happened in the last year.
Yeah, Usman, let me tell you something. He's supposed to talk shit. I am not going to fault him for talking shit and taking shots. He should, you know. But let's get this very clear. There's probably the best fight in terms of star power and respect that Usman could possibly take right now because everyone is talking about how great he is. Everyone's talking about how badass that Nate Diaz fight. He's the baddest motherfucker on the planet. And obviously Conor McGregor is a larger star than anybody in the world of MMA, but he beats Conor McGregor. It has nowhere near as much respect from diehard MMA fans and the MMA community as him beating Jorge Masvidal.
Correct. I do agree with that. But also for Masvidal, there's a much bigger picture at stake here because one's fighting Conor McGregor. Now, of course, as fighters, we all want to make money. We want to get rich. You know, we want to stack the chips, whatever you want to fucking call it, right? And so you want the biggest fights possible. And honestly, if he could get a percentage of the gate or the pay-per-view against Conor McGregor, that's going to be the biggest path to victory. But that's not as good in the legacy books of saying that you were the champion of the world, right? And if you become the champion of the world, you take the belt of Kamaru Usman. Now, I don't know if he will because Kamaru Usman's a fucking beast, but fighting for the belt from a personal thing as a fighter, you know, I think that trumps the payday of fighting somebody like Conor McGregor. So A, yes, you get more respect for taking on a better challenge. And B, if you're victorious, you then become champion of the world. And then from there, you can kind of call your shots. Then you can get those big fights. In fact, you could call out McGregor and say, fight me for the belt. You know what I mean? If McGregor was to win against Cerrone. So there's lots of different ways to slice it. But being the champion is always going to beat getting a short-term large payday.
Yeah, I agree. No, that is very true. Very true. And Masvidal, not for nothing, I think Masvidal's going to win this fight, dude. Masvidal has never looked better. Leon Edwards looked incredible in that fight, okay? However, Masvidal seems to just be soaring right now. And not for nothing, dude, his wrestling has seemed to be good enough to keep it standing, and I think that he fucking destroys him in the standing department. His boxing has looked so crisp, and he's looked so powerful. He's turned into a knockout artist out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, he has turned into a knockout artist out of nowhere. In fact, I asked him about it. He said he went off to the jungle, did some realizations, and came out a different person because he is knocking everybody out. Prior to this year, he wasn't really known as that guy. Yeah, he knocked out Cerrone. And of course, he's got, you know, multiple knockouts on his record, but he wasn't a guy that you knew that if he was going to win was by knockout. And that's what it certainly feels like these days. But
he's the example of the guy
who... Big, big man. Kamaru's a big man. He's a strong man. He's a good wrestler. I mean, I'm not saying Masvidal can't beat him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a fucking great fight, and I think both of them have a chance to win. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. Yes. I will say with Masvidal, he is the prime example of the guy who gets called up to the big show in the UFC, who's always looked good, looked great in Strikeforce, you know, had great success with smaller promotions. But there's two ways. Some of these guys... they become the absolute best versions of themselves when they get put up against the best fighters in the world and get called up to the UFC, and they bring the best training partners, whatever it is, that moment happens and they go, shit, this is my time. And they become the best versions of themselves. And then sometimes they get called up to the UFC and they go, oh shit, by comparison, they look nowhere near as good. Ben Askren being one of them. I mean, there's a bunch of guys we could probably talk about that just haven't looked as good when they get called up to the big leagues. So Masvidal is the opposite though. Masvidal, I think at this point, he sees this is his time, this is his moment, and you're seeing a really, really motivated Jorge Masvidal, and by far the best version of himself. And the same thing with Leon Edwards, by the way. Leon Edwards has never looked better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you bring up Kamara. Leon Edwards. Go on.
Leon Edwards,
Masvidal, whichever one. They've never looked better. They're all the best versions of themselves. Jesus Christ, new year, new me. What are they going to turn into? Listen, it's funny you bring up Leon Edwards there because he's just had a booking as well. He's fighting Tyron Woodley at the main event in UFC London in March. So that's a big fight happening on UK soil. And it's a really interesting one because... you know, Leon Edwards wants a title fight. I forget what kind of win streak he's on, but he's on a big, big win streak and he's beating some fantastic people. The last person to beat him, incidentally, was Kamaru Usman in a pretty relatively close fight, if I recall. So he's fighting Tyron Woodley. Tyron wasn't too keen on taking this fight. Harrington, Woodley was talking some shit on his YouTube page with TMZ, and he put a link up on Twitter. Maybe you can find that because... Woodley's out there on a shit-talking offensive right now. He is talking a lot of shit, saying that, you know, people don't deserve to fight him and all this type of thing. But unfortunately for Tyron, he got beat, lost his belt almost a year ago now. You got to get back in there. You got to fight. He's fighting Leon Edwards. He said he didn't want to fly over to England. He said, no, I'm not fighting outside of the USA. If people want to fight me, they can fly here, which I understand. Before we press play, I understand this thing, you know, people, you know, you want to fight in the States, you know, it's the home of the UFC. But what you got to remember is at least 50% of the roster fly from other countries. You know what I mean? And when you're not the champion, you can't always have your cake and eat it. And unfortunately, when you become a challenger again, this is what you've got to do. But Tyron Woodley has been on a bit of a shit-talking offensive lately. Harrington, roll tape, please, mi amigo.
Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington.
Wasn't impressed, my man. I was really disgusted. I want to throw up the fact that I lost to Usman. If I would have punched Colby, he may be on life support right now. Fuck both of them. They're corny, man. I feel like it was Bill Bellamy versus Montel Jordan. So fuck everybody. I'm getting my boxing license, too. I forgot to tell you that.
I know you've been talking about that for a while.
I'm getting my boxing license in California, Las Vegas.
Yeah, who do you want to box?
I want to box Canelo. He said he's down with it. So I'm tired of being a nice guy because if you really think about it, what else could I do? What else could I have done differently in my career? You got, please, can you fight me, please, fucking Leon Edwards. You got to introduce him to the UK. He got 50,000 followers. They don't even know who the fuck he is in his own country.
I want to talk to you about your son.
Yeah.
You're posting a lot on social media. Your son's a high school football superstar.
All right. My son's we get the idea.
State champion. They went undefeated as a sophomore. He made all conference.
There is Tyron Woodley going on, talking some shit, dropping a lot of F-bombs. You know, for a mild-mannered religious type that he is, I mean, there's a lot of fuck shits and fuck-offs in there. Do you know what I mean? Said he wanted to throw up in his mouth when he saw that fight. Now, I get that because his fight against Kamaru Usman, listen, he never showed up. He never showed up in that fight. It was a bad day at the office, you know? But you can't hate on somebody, right? You can't hate on that fight. That fight of Usman and Covington, that was a tremendous fight. One of the best we've seen this year for sure. So I understand Woodley. You know, he's on the outside right now. He had the belt not too long ago, and it hurts. It stings. But unfortunately, I don't really agree with him on that one.
Yeah. I think this is a really good fight for Tyron, honestly, to be coming back to. I thought that Tyron was going to try to sit out and just get a title fight. But this one seems to be, I mean, look, it seems like a really dangerous fight, a fight that Leon Edwards could actually win. It's not like it's a foregone conclusion that Tyron's going to win this fight. But it's surprising to me because when's the last time we saw Tyron fight? It's been a really long time, and it just felt like he was sitting out and waiting.
Kamaru Usman.
Yeah.
When he lost the belt, that was the last time that he fought, you know, and then he was offered some fights, but he said he had a little bit of an injury in his hand and things like that. You know, listen, the reality is, and you know, he does seem very motivated to get his belt back and be champion again. And I respect that. But, you know, he is pulled in other directions as well. He's focusing on his rapping and things like that and creating music, you know, and you have got to be all in to a certain degree. And Leon Edwards, he's certainly all in. He wants to be the champ. I mean, he's on a 8 fight win streak in the UFC, beating Dos Anjos, Gunnar Nelson, Cerrone, Peter Sabata, Barbarena, Vincente Luque, Albert Tumanov, and Dominic Waters in those eight fights. Dos Anjos being the most recent. I mean, he's beating good competition there. Stylistically for Tyron Woodley, you know, he's fighting a striker, but Leon Edwards is tall, man. I was sat with him and Adesanya at the last fight, and I mean, I've met Leon Edwards, but I couldn't believe how tall he is. Yeah, 6'2", and he was thick. He's not like a skinny 6'2" at welterweight. So he's a big dude. He's got reach. I don't know if he's got a longer reach than Tyron, but it looked like he'd have a longer reach. He moves well. He's got great striking. Could be a tough fight for. I think it's a tough fight for both men. Both men have a really, really hard fight, and that's why I think this becomes a great fight.
Very cool, Mike. We got a little bit of time here left. You want to get some questions in before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, can do.
Let's do that. So, if right, you want to,
I thought we were going to continue with the Leon Edwards Tyron Woodley discussion. I get it. Run out of.
You said an hour. Yeah. We got 7 minutes left.
Ah, well, let's do the fucking questions then. Seven minutes.
So Leon Edwards was born in a small town.
Leon Edwards is born in Birmingham and he talks like this. It's all right. But fortunately, the way that he fights isn't quite as boring as the way that they talk. But let's do some questions, Lewis, because we've only got 6.5 minutes left.
We've now got 6 minutes and 40 seconds. I like it. I like Birmingham.
You're wasting time. Sorry. You're wasting valuable time, Lewis. Questions without further ado.
If you want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. Send us your video questions, your audio questions, your fucking fan content, fan art. If you don't like us, send us hate mail. Well, maybe we'll start doing some hate mail once in a while. Why not, baby boy? Advice. If you want advice. You got problems with your relationships? Guess what? You got Michael Bisping married to a fucking dime piece for 20 years, bordering a rattlesnake, slinging his dick all over New York City and L.A.
Very successful.
Successfully slinging dick. All right, so who do we got first? Let's get a couple in.
First up, we have a video response from our friend Alex Hobie.
Alex Hobie. Now I have a question on the funny side. So who you think, for both of you, who you think will die first, Michael or Luis J. Gomez, and how? And I've also taken up your advice. I'm going to quit my pursuit of dental school and become a drug dealer. Thanks, guys.
Hell yeah.
Hold on. Listen. Why is that a funny question? That's not a funny question. Ooh, let's look into the future and see who's going to die first and how. How, in any way, shape, or form, could that be deemed as funny? Okay, it's a very depressing topic to discuss. But, Lewis, go on. Who do you think is going to die first?
If I simply go by body parts failing, I'm going to go with Michael Bisping. I mean, I have, look, it may not move fast. I may not be moving well, but I'm like an old Ford. You know, this baby's going to last. Bisping's like a Maserati. Okay. His knee's got to be replaced. You got to go to a specialist to get a fucking new knee. His eyeball's out. You got to get the right size eyeball, his elbows. So let me tell you something. Eventually they're going to just say, you know what? It's not worth it.
Listen, you know, the add-ons, the extensions, the spoilers, if you will, maybe they may fall off from time to time and I may go missing. A knee may need to be replaced. Spine may be broken. Nerves damaged and things like that. But the engine, my friend, the heart will keep beating. The engine will keep going, okay? So fuck you, Lewis, okay? I will be long on this earth when you are dead and buried, okay? And I hate to say it. I'll visit your grave. I'll go there. I'll bring James. I'll say, remember, James? Remember how you used to interrupt me all the time? Remember how we used to be late to the podcast but then cut the show early? You know, I said, remember all those things? It's okay. I'll be there for James. When you die of a drug overdose or you fall asleep at a wheel, then when you do finally get around to having a driver's license at some point, when you die, I'll be there. I'll be a surrogate father to James. I'll adopt him. He can come and live in the Bisping mansion, the half mansion, or the Bisping semi-detached.
Can Megan raise James? Dougie, if Megan raises James, I'll give them to you right now. God bless Megan.
Stop it. Stop it.
One more. God, let's get one more in.
One more.
All right. This is from Marcus Jones. He wrote in, hi, guys. Longtime listener here. Love the show and everything you guys do. Question for both of you. I recently took the leap and quit an office job I hated to pursue a dream of becoming a self-employed personal trainer. I'm really excited about the move, and both my wife and I know it's the right thing for me. However, I'm pretty nervous about the initial period where I'll probably be absolutely busting my ass for no money. As two people who both made similar sorts of career decisions at various points in your lives, have you gotten any advice for someone on how to stay motivated and keep your head above water in this sort of situation? Thanks, guys. Marcus. P.S. Fuck Harrington.
Jesus Christ. I mean, talk about long-winded. Get to the point. Hold on. Let me restructure that question. Hi, guys. I just recently went out by myself and became a personal trainer. I'm kind of worried, though, that I'm going to be broke at first because I haven't got too many clients yet. How do you stay positive through this low time? Boom. Done. Clear, cut, concise. Here's what you want to do. When you have your first clients, you don't bore them to death for half an hour, like a lot of personal trainers do. Don't pretend that you know everything, like you probably don't. Don't regurgitate an article that you read in Men's Health magazine last week and pass it off as your own and get all the facts wrong, okay? Don't do that. Lewis, advice?
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you're going to start any endeavor, especially when you're working for yourself, doing something like stand-up comedy, doing something like fighting, acting, getting into entertainment, running a business, being an entrepreneur, any of these things I sort of put into a category of people. It's a special thing that you have to have, which is a belief in the intangible. You have to believe in your ability to create something out of nothing. And I think this is why most people don't take that leap and start their own businesses or jump into entertainment or whatever it is. And that's the only real special thing that I think it takes. And it seems like you already have that. You have that. You have this sense, and your wife is a good woman to stand behind you and say, this is the right move. You have this belief in this intangible thing. You know, it's sort of out there. You will find yourself there. Just realize it's going to suck for 2 or 3 years. Accept the suck. If you accept it and accept it as a part of the process that you're going to have to build this business up, you're going to appreciate the suckiness. In sales, they say every no gets you closer to a yes. What that means is, like, every time you hear the word no, just realize that yes is going to be coming up. It's just a game of ratios. So you sort of get excited and you embrace the negativity. You embrace the sucky time, because guess what? You'll look back at the sucky time and realize that that was a foundation that a strong business was built on, because you figure out the right way to treat customers, the right way to treat clients. It's not luck. It's not, and nothing's falling into your lap. You have to do it the right way. That's a fucking brilliant answer.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up. Jesus, Lewis. I didn't give any advice. I totally just had fun with it. And you come in and you just give a fucking really motivating piece. In fact, I'm going to go out there and crush my goals today, baby boy. Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. Lewis, with the cliche, the Puerto Rican cliche is what you should call yourself. Yeah, but you're right, though, Lewis. Listen, basically what you're going to realize is anytime you go and work for yourself or you start in a new endeavor, you got to start at the bottom, okay? And then one day you'll be saying, started from the bottom, now we're here, okay? Because you will claw you. If you're any good, you claw yourself up. You claw your way up and it gets a little better and a little easier. And eventually one day you'll be like, wow, remember those days when I was flat, broken, skinned, and couldn't afford to fucking pay the bills? And now look at us. Now look at us. We're in a semi-detached house with a car on fucking finance that we can't afford. But my God, we look like we're killing it to the neighbors. Good luck with everything, buddy. Good luck in your endeavors, and good for you for branching out by yourself. Amazing, amazing. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
That was a good answer. I agree.
It's good answer. It's a good answer. No, because you see that in fighting as well. People always bitch. You know, when I first got in the UFC, I'm only on 12 and 12 or whatever. But that's where it starts. You know, and if you're any good, you'll go to the top. As they say, the cream rises to the top in everything. And if you're good enough, you'll probably get paid your due eventually. But if you're not good enough, unfortunately, the real life world where people pay money, when it's services and supply and demand and things like that, if you're no good, if you're not good, you won't do well. But if you believe in yourself and you've got the skills and you know and you're not being unrealistic and you actually have what it takes to be successful in whatever area it is, perseverance, my friend, because you'll get there eventually.
I think boom. Said it best.
Blam! All right, let's wrap it.
Thanks, Dana.
It's been a fun one. Quick show, special Christmas recap. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back tomorrow with our year-end awards show put together completely by Harrington. Me and Bisping are really just showing up, so I got to give him a little bit of credit.
Okay, no. If he's, are we still rolling? Are we still on air? You said let's wrap it. Yeah. Okay, if we're still on the air. Yeah, absolutely. Harrington, be my guest. Formulate a quiz, if you will. A quiz show, which we can do on our podcast show. Leave it down to you. You do it all. We'll do nothing but take all the credit for it. I like that idea. I love it, in fact.
Welcome to the world of being a fucking producer. It is a nobody gives a fuck about the producer. Nobody gives a shit. It's a thankless job. But honestly, without you guys, I will say thank you to Brian and Harrington, because to be honest with you guys, without these fucking guys coming in, the amount of hours that they put in with editing clips, making sure that every stupid things that we say sound good when we fuck up, making it sound good. It's a thankless job and it's a ton of extra work. Whereas we do get to come in for an hour and a half a day and just talk shit. These guys put in the extra time. So I do want to actually say thank you to, especially Brian.
And don't forget all the racist stuff we cut out.
Yeah. All the racist stuff too. That's right. We would have no careers if it wasn't for Brian and Harrington.
I know at that time we both showed up in blackface and somehow did some kind of CGI and made us look normal. No, jokes and ball busting aside, Brian Harrington, you know we appreciate you. And that's how we show our love, by busting your balls. And everyone else does as well. That's why they all say fuck Harrington. I think they do. I think when they say that, it's out of love.
It's out of love.
Who knows?
All right.
And on that note, bon voyage. We'll see you tomorrow.